I'm going to keep this as condensed as possible. So, plus I've got to go back to Grassington to pick up my family. Or I could leave them there and watch the Cricket World Cup. So I would like to start off this morning by showing a video. You know when you find things on YouTube and it kind of just says everything but better than you could possibly say it? I found one of those videos, but I will explain a bit more. But if you won't mind turning your attention to the screen and enjoy.
The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Say that with me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the victory, the Bible says, that overcomes the world. Put those two verses together, and you are guaranteed to be victorious in every battle you find yourself in life. Faith starts out before you know how it's going to turn out. If you know the end from the beginning, that's not faith. That's just doing something. Faith does not demand miracles. Faith produces miracles. Great faith is the product of great fights that are won in the arena of life. The Bible talks about little faith, and it talks about great faith. How do you get from little faith to great faith? You get from little faith to great faith by fighting this fight, and then another one that's greater, and then another one that's greater, and another one that's greater, and they continuously increase in size until you are fighting the giants. That's what it is. Great faith is born on the battlefield of life. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. Every stumbling block can become a stepping stone. Every opposition can become an opportunity. Faith is not believing that God can do it. Faith is believing that God will do it, and He will do it for you, and will do it right now. There are 1,000 ways to please the Lord, but none of them will work without faith. Faith helps you walk fearlessly, run confidently, and live victoriously. God is not moved by your emotions. God is only moved by your faith. I have seen people pray emotionally, "Oh God, please, please." God has said here He will do it. All you have to do is get out of the emotional state and get in the faith dimension and say, "God, I thank you, you are doing it. I may not see it with my natural eye, but I know it's going to happen. And I'm standing on the faith of the Word of God. It will happen. Make that happen." When you hear the Word of God and you obey it, you go from glory to glory. You grow from first grade to second grade to third grade faith to middle school to high school to graduate school, and now you are really fighting big battles. And you're not concerned because you and God have a working relationship. You are bound by your own self-imposed limitations. Go to a self-improvement seminar, and you'll hear some enthusiastic leader tell you to read his wonderful book and it will build your confidence. I'm holding in my hand the most powerful confidence builder that's in your house or that's in your mind. This is authored by God the Holy Spirit, and it has supernatural power. You hear what I'm saying to you? It has supernatural power. There is faith unlimited in this book. The devil's not afraid of you, but when you start quoting this book, he is terrified of you. You have awesome power in the name of Jesus and in the blood of Jesus and in the word of Jesus. Read this book and it will take your dull, boring, pity pot, wallflower personality and transform it into a ball of divine fire. This sacred book will cause you to meet men and women and do the impossible thing, because faith in God can help you accomplish anything. They conquered giants in the Bible. They walked in and out of the fiery furnace without the smell of smoke upon them. Moses led 2 million people across the wilderness for 40 years. It rained manna every morning, the cloud by day to cool them off, the fire by night to warm them. Got water gushed out of a rock that fed 2 million people and their livestock. And the Bible says there was not one sick nor feeble among them for 40 years. And look at it, get this. Their clothes did not wear out for 40 years. Dear God, bring that back. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's confidence. This book says the Lord is my high tower. It says God is my shield and my buckler. It says the Lord is your fortress and deliverer. He is your Jehovah Shammah. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the God who is there. He is the rock of your salvation. He's the one who was and is and evermore shall be. He is the fairest of 10,000. He is one. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is the bright and the morning star, the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. He is the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. He is the Lord of glory. He is the light of the world. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lion of Judah. Give him praise in this house, for he's worthy of that praise.
Amen. It's good, isn't it? I love things like that. Does anyone know what I might be talking about this morning? Faith. Funny enough, you are right. Faith. Faith. What is faith? How can it move us? There's quite a few interesting things that you might be stirred up with from that video. That God is not moved by our emotions, but he's moved by our faith. It might seem a quite harsh thing to hear that he's not moved by emotions, but the preacher wasn't saying he doesn't care. It's not that God doesn't care about our emotions, because he absolutely does. He cares how we feel. He cares about the decisions we make, and sometimes the decisions that we don't make. But it's through our faith that we begin to move beyond our emotional state. It's when we put ourselves to one side and say to our faith, yes and amen, our faith in God, and we allow him to overcome our emotional state, to break through the circumstances that we may be feeling. But I just want to break it down just a little. So what is faith? Simply put, faith is knowledge and trust. Faith is knowledge and trust. Faith is a sheer gift from God. Faith is absolute certainty. I'll say that one again, because I'm challenged by it. Faith is absolute certainty. I'm going to say it again. Faith is absolute certainty. Faith grows when we listen more and more carefully to God's word. Faith. Even now is a foretaste of the joy of heaven. There's just some basic things to us to think about when we're thinking about faith. Because we can often refer to faith as our faith, my faith. We kind of take ownership of it, don't we? I believe, I have faith. And they are yours. But let's not forget where they come from. The gift of faith. that was won on the cross by Jesus is something that we can hold on to personally. Now, excuse me. Now, it mentions about God's word, the Bible, a testament of faith stories collected, a testament of faith sayings, the testament of God's faithfulness to his children. But one of the great authors of faith was Paul. Paul was a New Testament faith writer. He would write to different people in different circumstances who were new to faith. And they were having battles around faith and encouragements and discouragements. And Paul was a person who wrote to people to encourage them in their faith, to stand firm in their faith, but also to reject things that eroded or attacked their faith. And he wrote to quite a few people. He wrote to the Galatians, the Philippians, and the Romans. And each group, he would always be looking and striving for their faith to grow and become a staple of their everyday living. When he often wrote, he would speak about faith, but also what faith brings. So faith brings righteousness, being made right before God. Just like faith is a gift, righteousness is a gift. Being made right, we cannot by ourselves be made right with God. That's why Jesus came. He made us right by God. Or another way of looking at it, if God was to enter this room, we could not step into his presence. There'd be like a boundary. And because of our sinful state, not being right, he couldn't even look at us. Just picture that. God, we can't get close to him, and he can't even look upon us because of our sinful state. So what did God do? He places Jesus in between us. And Jesus is the filter, because he looks upon Jesus because he can. And Jesus looks upon us and says, I will take their guilt. I will take their shame. I will take that price and that cost. So Father God can look upon you. That's being made right before God. Faith brings justification. It makes us just. Our faith can make us just. We don't have to justify ourselves because Jesus has made us just. So we don't have to justify our faith before men and women, because we are made just. We are right. We are righteous people. We have the justification of God. So when we act in faith, we don't have to explain every action to every person. What we need to do is understand that we are right with God, and he justifies our action because we are exercising our faith. Faith transcends all good works and the letter of the law. Faith transcends good works. So Paul often speaks about doing good works, which is good. And we're called to do good works. But faith transcends. It's above what we do. You can have the nicest person in all the world who has a generous heart, a big bank balance, who's always looking to do good and do good works. But the word says that it's actually faith that is greater than doing good works. As people of God, as faith carriers, we're asked to put our faith first and allow good works to follow. To step out in faith. Now, faith looks different in different circumstances. And there's one letter I just want to concentrate on that Paul wrote to, was a letter to the Galatians. And I think this kind of speaks to us. There's things in Paul's letter to the Galatians that I identify with our personal story. So just a little bit of a background. So it was written in response to a crisis in the churches of Galatia. Jewish Christians and missionaries were telling the Galatians that the entire Jewish law must be observed to be deemed to be true Christians. So what was happening is that there was a crisis amongst the churches because people were going in who were Christians but saying to the rest of the Christians, if you're a true Christian, you have to follow a law. You have to follow a process. You have to be circumcised because that was part of their law as Jewish people. You have to observe the law of God. You have to wash yourself clean. You are only allowed to eat certain things. And if you don't, then you're not a true Christian. But actually, what Paul writes to them is saying, no. No. You're missing out the faith. Our faith in what Jesus Christ has won on the cross. Who says to all people, if you have faith in Jesus that he died and rose again, that the law has no hold on you. And I think we're in a kind of a similar position as a church because we have faced a crisis. We have had a crisis of faith where things have happened around us and things have been spoken about us and to us and over us. And it can drag your faith down. But wasn't it a joy and a delight when we went on a church weekend away, and actually when we came together, the biggest thing that rose out of that was peace. The peace. The peace of God was there. Because our faith had won the fight, that we decided to step away from the rules and the things that people were saying, which weren't helping our faith, and we allowed our faith to grow, to be still. We've listened to his word, we've worshipped, we've used our faith and exercised it to bring healing, not just physically, but emotionally. I've heard people say, oh, it doesn't feel as we're doing as much as what we used to. I don't think that's actually true. I think as a church, we're probably doing more now than we've ever done. But we're not basing it upon the law of we're doing the next big thing. We're not trying to just set up another program for us to get all excited about and have that kind of sudden uplift of faith. But when the program's stops, our faith suddenly sinks down with it. I think our faith has been growing slowly, healthily. And actually what we seem to be doing now is a lot more little and often rather than just big things. I think this is important. And this is what Paul is trying to remind them of, that you will face big things. There will be times where things were going to really raise your faith, But there's also going to be times when things are going to really challenge your faith. And what is Paul's response is, don't take notice of it. Be steady. Be firm. Run the good race. Slow and steady. Allow your faith to be worked in every day. The small steps that you will take. And he mentions it in that video about going through the kind of the education system of faith, that you will start off in reception and then you go to first grade, second grade, third, fourth, fifth. And that's what faith is like. You need to build it up. And as a body, I believe that we are building up faith. Our faith tanks are actually starting to brim over the edges. But because it doesn't look the same as it once did, we believe a lie that actually we're not as active in our faith. I want to correct that today and say your faith is good. I see your faith. I hear as a person who gets to meet each one of you how your faith is growing just through natural conversations. Yes, some of us may be stepping out into newer areas or bigger things, but that's not to say that someone who's just taken a small step of faith is not equally as powerful. Paul often refers to people of faith in the Bible. One of the main characters that he often refers back to is Abraham. Almost, he was the kind of the pioneer of faith in the Bible, because he really introduced it, because God said to Abraham, go. Go where? Go to the land that I'm going to promise you. Where is it? I'll show you when you get there. Go. Okay. You're going to have children. A bit old. Have you seen me, missus? Well, you know. He was a bloke. He'd get away with it because he's stupid. And didn't know any better. You'll have descendants. More descendants than you can count. How many? Counting stars, I can't. Trust me. Paul recognizes that we all have that ability to trust. We all have our ability to grow in our faith. And it's good to remind ourselves of not only just our own story, but the authors of faith that we're surrounded with. If your faith isn't as settled or as forthcoming as you would like, then look to your brothers and sisters, because I'm guaranteed there'll be someone in here who's got a real testimony of faith, because they're at that moment of time are exercising it, and you can come alongside them and say, tell me what you're doing, let me rejoice in your faith, the faith that I can see you exercising in God. Let that stir my soul. Faith is not a battle that you're just meant to fight all on your own. This is why Paul writes to the people, because he's trying to encourage them, saying you're not alone. We pray for you day and night. And I'm sending these words of encouragement to you. This morning I'm sending words of encouragement to you that your faith is good. Your faith is strong. Even if you're not sure this morning, come and speak to me and I'll remind you of the things that your faith I have witnessed. Just me. Even better, go to God and say, remind me of my moments of faith. Remind me when you encouraged me to do something that I thought was impossible and I did it. With you. Testaments of faith. There was a line in that video that says, Faith starts out before you know how things are going to turn out. The first step of a decision as a Christian is a faith step. One of the things that we've decided to do was house church. And I really wrestled with it for a long time because I knew it would be a big step of faith. And I imagined other church leaders or people outside our context saying, "What are you doing? Are you giving people a Sunday off?" What's the program? What's it going to look like? Are you going to tell people what to do? Are you going to set up groups? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And I'm not saying many people did speak to me like that, but these are the thought processes I had to go through. Is it going to work? Am I just got a nice idea? And I really had to wrestle with God with this, because I believe God told me. Because when he told me, it kind of burst out my chest. And he's like, poof. Yeah, makes complete sense. And I had that kind of peak of faith. And then the next day, I plummeted. And I plummeted for about 3 months. Because I had to, although my faith and my relationship with God was telling me one thing, the laws and all the other things of the world started to tell me something different. But I got to a point where God says, "Gavin, are you just going to trust me? Are you just going to trust me that I spoke to you? Are you going to trust the people that they're going to hear from me? Are you going to trust me that actually it's not just about setting up a program, but releasing the people to be their own faith carriers? Even if that means them carrying their faith to their bed." And it's like, okay, God, I'm going to exercise my faith. When we did the Alpha course, a lot of people raised an eyebrow. "What, you're going to only do it once a month? Is that, that doesn't work, because that's not how everyone else does it." He said, "I know. But I have faith in the people. I have faith in God that this, for us, is right." And it was. Our faith has caused us to partner with people that we haven't partnered with for a very long time. We've partnered with St. Michael's and St. Paul's and St. Aidan's. And I didn't know how it was going to work out. I could have knocked on Andy's door and say, "Can I come round, pray with you, talk with you?" And he could say, "No, bugger off." The potential of that might be quite high still. But it took a faith thing of saying, because we as a church, we sat down, I don't know if you remember, and we did that listening to God night. What does God want us to do? That was an exercise of faith. And one of the biggest things that came out of that was we want to work better with local people and local churches. And I took hold of that. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I didn't know what we're going to have a Pentecost night. I didn't know that we're going to be joining up with them at Easter and Christmas. I didn't know that a start course would have came out of it. I didn't know. I'm not that clever. But what I am is a listener and a believer. What I am is a faith carrier. What I am is a person who can listen to people around them and listen to their faith and say, yeah, I want to stand with them in faith. We don't know how it's going to turn out, but I want to be a body of people that are exercising and trying things, even if we're breaking the law. That's not how it should be done. There's a word for that. And I'm not going to use it because I'm being recorded. But you can use your own word. We don't have to conform. We're not here just to be rule followers. We're here to be faith livers. To live out of faith. So it's our faith that draws us closer to Christ. Our belief in the unseen God. Has anyone seen Jesus? Does anyone believe in Jesus? That's faith. That is faith in action. Without faith, how can one believe or live according to the gospel? In the video, again, he talks about the word of God. The power that's in this book. There was a story of a man I heard. It was many, many years ago. The preacher was preaching. And he said a man got put in prison for 30 years. And all he had every day was a Bible. And every day he read the Bible. He must have read the Bible umpteen times. Because that was his only entertainment. He had nothing else. And every day he read the Bible. And after he came out of prison 30 years later, he left the Bible in there. And he walked away from it. And someone, a guard, picked it up and went through this tatty old Bible who this man had been reading religiously for 30 years. And what he found was quite astonishing, because the man had spent 30 years and he basically made a concordance. So he marked out and numbered how many times he said certain words like love and righteousness. He marked out and wrote down all the different names for God. He just made it into a numbers game. 30 years he was sat on the most powerful book, most life-changing and life-giving thing that's ever been given to humanity. And he came out with a concordance because he missed it. He missed the faith, the trust. He missed the faith because he didn't see God, even though he was right in front of him. I don't know how your Bible reading's going, but I would encourage you just to read one verse a day and allow your faith to rise up and trust and believe, even if you don't understand, because there's plenty of things in this book that can lead us into confusion. But that doesn't mean it's not true. It just means that we need to grow a little more, or understand, or ask someone else. Read your Bible. Don't miss out on the life. That poor bloke, after 30 years of being imprisoned, missed out. I don't know what happened to him off that, but I found that story quite compelling, that someone could sit with such a powerful thing and basically come out with a concordance. Missed it. Faith is what strengthens and forms our relationship with Christ. Believing God. We can't see God, but we can see the effects of God. When we pray, it's not like we see God. Well, some people might, but I've never seen God come up by the side and say, "It's all right, I've got this. I've heard you. Let me take over." I haven't seen that, but I have seen the words and my faith put into action because people's situations have changed. Would I like to see more of it? Yes. Do I understand sometimes why God doesn't answer prayers? No, I don't understand, but I'm not going to allow that to cripple my faith. We're so blessed here to have the healing rooms team who have to put their faith into action every Tuesday and a Friday. And you might be surprised to know that some of them still get jittery just in case someone turns up. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? But actually, in the moment, because they've already taken that physical step of, I'm going, maybe I don't want people to turn up, but if they do, I'm going to do it anyway. That's when faith takes over. And they exercise their faith, and the blessings and the miracles that we are seeing through the Healing Rooms team is amazing. And we should not underestimate how powerful and important that is. Not just for the people that are receiving it, but also it brings faith into the room, into the body. So if your faith is a bit low, go and speak to Gary. Gary's full of testimony. He's always banging on about how faithful God is and how he has prayed and people have been slain in the spirit, or how they've seen bondage and other things being broken in the name of Jesus. He's oozing. Go and speak to Gary. He's a great faith builder. He's a living testimony of God's faithfulness. Not because his faith is particularly greater than anyone else's. He just lives it. It's very simple. I pray, I believe that God will answer. And even if he doesn't, I'm not going to stop. Faith drives our beliefs. This is a kind of more of a sensitive one, this. Because when we talk about faith driving our beliefs, sometimes it's hard to understand or recognize what we actually believe in. Sometimes we just get lost and our faith with it. Because your kids are screaming, or the finances are adding up, or there's a certain person that just seems to be stressing you out. You know, there's plenty of things that can shift our beliefs. But when our beliefs shift, our faith shifts with it. And it's a challenge to us, I believe, that not to allow circumstances to affect our faith. And it's a difficult one, and I understand that. Because we all face things that can wear us down and make us feel tired or just fed up. But I'm going to ask you to pickle your faith. I'm asking you, church, to pickle your faith, to preserve it. That actually things may happen to you, and it may take you on an emotional roller coaster, but what it shouldn't affect is your faith. I would say you need to start saying, yes, my emotions may be up for grabs, but my faith is off limits, because that belongs to me and God. That's not to be tampered with. That's not for the world to rob. Because that's my gift from God. Your faith is off limits. Let's preserve our faith. In Romans 3:25, for God presents Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. It's because of Jesus. We don't get what we deserve because of Jesus. We get an opportunity to grow in faith and see amazing things in our lives because of Jesus and our faith in him. We get to come alongside broken people and offer hope and solutions and food and love and comfort because of our faith. And this is where, as a church, we're heading. I am keen for us not to start setting new initiatives and programs, searching after faith, because I believe the faith is already sat here in the room. I believe that God is giving you certain gifts and certain people and certain situations for you to exercise your gift. And if I'm honest, I want to step back from some of the program stuff, because what happens is we say we're going to do something and we may feel our faith rise and it comes in the front door and then it leaves the back door. I'm not saying that there won't be times for that, because they may. Because together our faith might say it's time for us to do something big, to action stuff. So I'm not saying it will never happen, but our regular faith building action as a church is to do the small things well and allow them to grow, to do the faithful things. We're not just seeking God's presence, we're seeking our faith and allowing our faith to grow. So we're not just relying on the presence of God to turn up on a Sunday. We're actually allowing our faith to invite that into our everyday life. Does that make sense? So that's it. That's all I want to say, because I think that's enough. Let me encourage you again. Your faith is good. Well done. I am very, very blessed to be filled with people with faith. And not just any faith, faith that is growing strong, steadily. And some may go up and some may go a little down. But together we can maintain our faith. Faith is what draws us closer to Christ. Faith is what opens up the Word of God, the truth. Faith is what strengthens us and our relationship. Faith drives our beliefs. Our faith is off limits. It's ours. It's our gift from God. And we will not allow circumstances in the world to rob us of our faith. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you that you have helped us grow and nurture our faith. We thank you that you use people like Paul to recognize crisis moments in the point of the church's life. And you've used him to build up faith. Lord, let our faith be built up by one another. Lord, allow the Pauls to come to us as well, Lord. The people that we know from, not just inside Buttershaw, but outside, to come in and speak words of faith to us. Words of encouragement. Things that will build us up. Help us to recognize the lies, the laws that are imposed upon us that don't come from you. But it's our faith in Jesus Christ that drives us on. It's being obedient to his word, just like Abraham. Lord, let our faith arise so we expect to see the people of Buttershaw receiving that same faith. Let our faith arise that we'll be so confident in it that we'll be willing to tell people more about you, to share that good news. Let our faith grow that we understand more and more of the Bible and what you are saying through it. Let that be a revelation in itself. Let our faith arise so we can confidently stand and say, we will see revival. That we will see God pour out his power here on Buttershaw. into the streets, into the homes, into the lives of the people in Buttershaw and in Bradford. Let our faith arise. For your glory we pray. Amen.